3. A Great Notion. The industrial coal country of eastern Pennsylvania is an unlikely place to find the seed of an electronic media revolution, much less a cultural one. Yet in this story, it provides two. The first came in 1948, when an enterprising appliance salesman in Monoy City, a town nestled in the picturesque but receptionless hills 100 miles outside of Philadelphia, planted an antenna atop a nearby mountain, ran a literal cable into town, and began offering a new service. He charged $100 for installation and $2 per year thenceforth for the privilege of watching TV without the vagaries of wireless transmission. The second occurred 24 years later, on November 8, 1972, and a mere 40 miles away, in Wilkes-Barre. That was when, despite weather problems that forced a technician to stand on top of a roof, physically holding a microwave receiving dish in place, HBO debuted to a tiny group of subscribers. The idea for premium cable had been dreamed up by Charles Dolan, who had recently sold a large chunk of his Manhattan cable company, Sterling Communications, to Time Life Inc., and was casting about for a way to make it profitable. The answer, dreamed up according to company lore, on a family vacation aboard the Queen Elizabeth II, was a subscription service focused on sports and movies. He called it the Green Channel. The name was quickly replaced with a placeholder, Home Box Office. From the time of that first broadcast of the film Sometimes a Great Notion, based on the Ken Kesey novel, much of both the problems and the promise that would drive HBO for the next four decades was already in place. The primary question, of course, was how to make people pay for something they either already paid for, or worse, got for free. In 1972, the answer was relatively easy. In those pre-VCR days, there were few options to see Hollywood movies outside of the theater, or even in the theater, since cinemas had yet to catch up with demographics by shifting from urban downtowns to suburban multiplexes. The TV writer and essayist Rob Long has argued persuasively that this, as much as any particular upswell of artistic sensibility, was responsible for the new cinema of the early 1970s, and, once the suburbs got screens, its death at the hands of blockbusters such as Jaws and Star Wars. Live sports broadcasts, largely.